Welcome back, 700 WLW, 235 on this Saturday afternoon. I don't know whether you know this or not, but America is on the verge of cockpit crises. Apparently, with forced retirement at the age of 65, and many of the so-called baby boom generation pilots nearing that age, the shortfall for the industry is approaching quickly. That according to airline pilot Glenn Novola, who has captained a 737 for many, many years for a major airline, and is also someone who is specialized himself outside of the cockpit in things like wealth management and asset allocation, risk management, those kinds of things. He is the founder of Flightline Financial. But we are facing, I guess, a crisis, and the crisis may be coming sooner than later. Here now to talk about that, and let's welcome in the aforementioned Glenn Novola to News Radio 700 WLW. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Should I call you Captain? I mean, do you have to be called Captain?
No, that's not required.
Okay, I didn't know whether that was something.
A
couple of things just to get out of the way quickly. You've been an airline pilot for how long?
31 years.
Yeah. 31 years. You ever flown into Cincinnati?
Yeah, many times. Yeah. So I did a couple charters into there, but yeah, we had scheduled service in there. I think now it's served by the regional carrier for the airline that I work for. But yeah, I've been in Cincinnati many times.
Good airport, easy place to land. I mean, what do you remember of the greater Cincinnati airport?
No, I do remember the runway layouts were good. The terminal layout was good. There are airports that are on the challenging side, and Cincinnati definitely does not come to mind as one of those. So all my experiences going in and out of there have been great.
Good, good. We don't like to challenge anybody here in Cincinnati, so it's good to hear about that. Now, this is a real problem, I guess, that the airline industry is facing. A lot of you guys are coming to an age when you want to get on with your life, fishing, boating, you know, playing racquetball, and it's approaching quickly. How far away do you think we are from having a shortage of pilots?
Well, it's been building over the last 7 years or so, this issue with staffing potentially becoming a problem in the future. And that's because the mandatory retirement age used to be 60 for years. Mm-hmm. It was 60. And then about 7 years ago, the FAA changed it to 65. So that gave the airlines 5 years of buffer to play with. But now we've been at 65 for a few years now. And a lot of the baby boomer pilots that were there, that were all hired in a decade or so, during a decade, mm-hmm. are now all approaching that 65 threshold, which is mandatory retirement age. For example, our airline next year, I think we have about 800 pilots that are turning 65, and then it goes up to about 900. So and that's just that one airline. So across the industry, it's going to be a challenge for these airlines to hire qualified pilots once the existing pool that we have dries up. So the pool comes from the regional carriers, mm-hmm. mostly, and or military. Mm-hmm. And once that pool of qualified candidates dry up, then airlines are going to probably be challenged to find different and innovative ways to attract pilots, such as there are a couple airlines now that have an incubator program where they would hire a pilot with zero time basically, and put them through their own training, but they would be hired before they actually step foot in an airplane for the first time.
Wait a minute. They would hire somebody who hasn't flown, and they would train them in a simulator or perhaps a fly-along program without passengers, and then all of a sudden they'd give them a seat in an airplane?
Well, kind of. They would have to go through the same training that any other pilot would go through. That would take them through their private, commercial, instrument, instructor, multi-engine, all that.
Yeah.
But that pilot would be, knowing that he had a job at the end of that process might take 3 years, but that's a way for an airline to control its staffing in the future if they knew that they hired qualified candidates that had a desire to be a pilot. Yeah. Now, there probably would be a watch-out rate, you know, but it's one of the ways that I think they need to be innovative, and they need to be ahead of the curve on this, because it's definitely going to be a problem probably a decade or so from now.
You know, it's funny. I hear similar stories from friends that I have in the medical profession, and obviously there's a stress level involved with every profession, but it's pretty stressful being a doctor. And there are a lot of, there's just a lot of millennials that don't want the stress of being in medicine or in law or in the job you do. So I sense that generation likes less stress. You operate in a very stressful job, and that might have something to do with it as well. I mean, you're right. The pool used to be military. It used to be regional carriers. It used to be, you know, flight enthusiasts that would build their seat time up in smaller aircraft. I'm guessing maybe stress has got a problem now, or your industry has a problem now with stress.
Yeah, it can be very stressful. We work in dynamic atmosphere. In a dynamic environment that is challenging, to say the least. When you fly into the nation's busiest airports, to when we're dealing with air traffic control issues, or we're dealing with delays or weather or whatnot.
Yeah.
I think a bigger issue is the cost to become a pilot is pretty high. And if you get on with an airline eventually, then it mitigates the cost to a certain degree, similar to a doctor or a lawyer if they're able to finally practice in that profession. But I think a lot of these new kids coming up are just initial cost outlay in addition to maybe being a stressful job. I think both of those things are probably causing an issue with people interested in taking on this career. Plus, when you first start out, everything is based on seniority in this career. So when you first start out, you don't get the best schedules in the world. You know, you're working 4, 5, 6 day trips sometimes, and you're gone from your family. Right. So that's another issue of this that's particular to this career.
We used to have a regional carrier in this market, and I got to visit with some of the guys that flew for it, and you think of it as being a glamorous life. You know, you think about, well, I'm here, there, and everywhere. I could be in L.A. today, San Francisco tomorrow. But oftentimes, at least the way they were operating when I had this conversation, they're no longer in business, was that you got paid only for the time you were in the air, and that if you were on call, and if you had to get from your house to an airport and sit there and then wait for your flight to take off, you weren't running up the hours. This wasn't like going to the assembly line and punching a clock. I don't know if it's that way anymore, but there was a lot of grief to dollars for these guys, and this is going back maybe 15, 20 years. Is it still that way?
Yeah, no, it's still that way. We only get paid for the time the airplane's moving. So we get paid after you push back and until you block in. So, and usually those are negotiated from a contract standpoint from the unions when they negotiate these contracts, but it's pretty standard across the board. You put in a lot of extra time before the flight and maybe after the flight that you really don't get paid for. You get paid a block time for the leg and for the trip. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have a minimum per day that you would have to get paid, whether you just did a short flight or a longer flight.
Gotcha.
It's still the same. You're still really only getting paid when the airplane is moving. And if you look at it, the time that you spend away from your base or your home, if you kind of quantify that out to an hourly charge, you know, it's nothing compared to people that work a 9-to-5 and they're home every night.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily I'm pretty senior, so I only do 1 day trips, so I'm home every night, but it's taken me 31 years to get to that point. So,
we're chatting with Glenn Nivola. He is a captain for a major airline. We're not mentioning what the airline is, flies 737s, and we're talking about this shortage of pilots that the United States is going to be facing here in the next 5 to 7 years. By the way, I've always wanted to ask a pilot this. Every pilot, when they welcome somebody on board or they talk, they all talk kind of like in the same voice. And I was told there was one pilot that every pilot tries to emulate with his voice. Is this true? And if so, who is this guy?
Well, that's the mystery person, I guess, because I've never heard about that. But a lot of people that I know or that I talk to say that I sound like a pilot. So I don't know. I think that we either have We either have a monotone voice or, you know, we say we use additional things in the English language a lot, like, you know, and and so if I'm doing that, it's just instinctive. So sorry.
No, that's all right. You morphed, you reconfigured whatever into the investment world, the financial world. You want to run a wealth management firm. I'm just wondering, yeah, if you are an airline pilot or somebody that's in the aviation business, it's probably not bad to have a hobby on the side, huh?
Well, when I started in the airlines, it was back in 1986, and then we started going through the deregulation. I started at People Express initially, for people that remember that airline.
I love that airline. I flew from Sarasota, Florida to Newark, New Jersey once and sat next to Vincent Price.
Yeah, you probably only paid $49.
That's exactly right. No, but I'm sitting next to this great actor, and I'm flying People, yeah, Express. It was a flying bus, but it got you where you,
right,
wanted to go. But so you started a long time ago when the industry was different, obviously.
Yeah, so the industry was bad for the next 10 to 15 years, really. And then so I really wanted to leverage the time off to do other things. So I ran a real estate firm back then. I ran the finance end of the real estate firm because of the problems that this industry had. Till that point. Then we had 9/11 happen, which further caused the industry to get turned on its heels for the subsequent 5 to 7 years. It's a very cyclical business, and we have a lot of time off, so it enables pilots to leverage that time off if they choose to do something other than, you know, what they play golf or other recreational things. I've always chosen to leverage the time off to start a couple of companies, and the newest financial has been about 7 years or so that I've been doing this. And this was really just kind of born from the fact that a lot of my pilots that I work with we have a fantastic 401k, as do most of the airlines, because we don't have pensions anymore. So there was a need for assistance with pilots' 401ks, because a lot of pilots, or a lot of people in general in industry, have a lack of understanding about what's offered even in their 401k. So it helps to have somebody that's not only lives in the same world as the pilots, being one of them, but also having a finance background. I worked for Morgan Stanley in New York City as a financial advisor for a few years. So from that stemmed a wealth of knowledge across many finance spectrums. So I was able to bring that to the pilots to help them with their 401ks, and then when they retire, then we do a rollover and help them with their wealth management and their distribution schedules and trust and estate planning and all the stuff that becomes important, mm-hmm, for a post-retiree. So it was kind of a natural progression. Pilots generally trust other pilots by nature of what we do for a living, so it's kind of a natural bridge to trust another pilot that has financial experience with their 401ks and their finances.
Flightlinefinancial.com is where you can find Glenn, and he says that there is a pilot shortage coming here and coming quickly to the airline industry. Glenn, great to have you on today. Good luck. Good luck with Flightline Financial, and who knows, maybe someday I'll be in an airplane and hear your voice.
Absolutely. Stick your head up in the cockpit and we'll let you take some pictures.
I think you get arrested for that now. I'm not quite convinced that that's true, but I think you might. Thank you, Glenn.
On the ground, we can do it. All right, take care.
Thank you. Yeah. 749-7000, 1-800, the big one. Pilot shortage coming. Again, that is Glenn Nevola, Nevola. But they all sound the same, don't they? All these pilots sound the same. Ladies and gentlemen from the flight deck, thank you for joining us today on flight 627 to Akron. We'll be flying at an altitude of 16,000 feet, and weather in Akron looks pretty good, about what it is here in Cincinnati, about 76 degrees and sunny. Sit back, relax, and enjoy it. We've got a wonderful flight crew that'll take care of you, and we'll get back to you as soon as we get closer to the Akron International Airport. They all sound the same! We'll continue next on News Radio 700 WLW.